Today on the AV Podcast, the NBA Bubble Finals is here. It's here. I'm joined by O'Neal Kamaka, of the co-founder of the Skills Refinement Group, and South Shirai family member Big Brother Curtis, as we discuss the NBA Finals between Hollywood and South Beach. We discuss if Miami actually has a chance to win the championship, what winning a fourth title would mean for LeBron's career. We also go over the LeBron James narratives. We continue to pour out liquor over the Clippers. And not in a sad way, like the, you know, I miss my homie way, but like the really disrespectful way. Like, kind of like Dame Dash in the Rock days, kind of disrespectful pouring out the liquor. Okay, maybe not that bad. Plus, we give Jamal Murray our roses and so much more. South Survive is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I mean wherever. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and Alexa is just some of the places you can hear this podcast. Listen, rate, review, and subscribe to all of the shows from South Shirai Radio. Hit the like button, the favorite button. Plus, I'm going to need all of my stars, all right? I'm going to need all my stars, all of my stars, please. Like all of them, like all five of them. It only costs you like $3.99, right? So do it. And to catch up with my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
Welcome to the AV Podcast. All right, guys, so just tell me, like, does Miami have, like, any shot of winning the NBA title? Just give me something. Something.
Of course they do.
Any of you.
Of course they do.
Okay, go ahead.
I think they do. Why would, I mean, if you compete and you play hard, anything can happen, right? And I'm not a big believer in LeBron James' jump shot. Everybody's getting all excited that he dropped 38 points in the last game, right? But if you watch the first half, he was bricking everything. And he has that look on his face, like, and even games before that, when Denver was literally backing up and daring him to shoot, and he wasn't shooting the ball. So I don't believe in LeBron's jump shot. I think it's, as always, he's a streaky shooter. He's going to take some shots. If he's hitting, great. If he's missing, you know what I mean? Anything can happen. AD, you know, Mr. Glass, that guy's going to get hurt probably the second game. He's out of the series. You forget that Miami's Rough Riders. And I wanted Miami because I know Jimmy Butler is going to punch any one of those guys in the face if they show any fear of LeBron or any of those guys on those teams. So those guys are going to be coming at him. You know, LeBron, it ain't going to be the LeBronto where he intimidates DeRozan and freaking sweeps them. You know, Miami's going to come in and they're going to compete and they're going to be dogs and they're going to play hard. You know, that Tyler Hero, he's just too young to recognize the moment. He's just going to come in and just start lighting these guys up. And so that's what I'm looking forward to.
I think they definitely have a shot, especially if the referees just let him play, which I think that's not going to happen. But one of the reasons I was pulling for Miami to get through when Toronto got out was because they have the toughness. They have those vets. And I think I said that the last time I was on, that was like one of my dark horses. I had Denver and Miami in the East as a dark horse because I said Miami just has the guys who are going to grind.
Those my dark horse too. I made sure I said it. Go back and check.
I don't know about you, but I know I said it.
I said it. Curtis, I'm the one that said it.
I think I said it first.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, let's go back and check.
Whatever. go on.
Like you said, O'Neal, like Butler, the leader. But I think as well, Crowder, tough-minded guy. Dragon, whatever his name is.
Dragon.
He's a tough-minded.
Yeah, he's a tough-minded guard as well. You know, the guys off the, even Robinson, that dude just coming out, he's not going to get fazed by the moment. You mentioned Tyler, Hero. Those guys are they're and then you threw in Iggy as well, another vet that's done it, been there, seen it, you know, mm-hmm. been through the roughness or the roughness and stuff. But again, and it's, I think it all stems from the top, and that's Riley, and it all just trickles down from there. It's his mindset. He's got the right, all the pieces are Riley's type of players, mentality wise. You know what I mean? So I think they definitely got a shot, especially if the referees don't stick the whistle up their asses.
I think that's a great point.
It's not going to happen. Point.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The referee's definitely going to give LeBron one game. But I think that's a great point. Like, you know, I look at the lineup, man. Like, they have Danny Green and with championship experience, finals experience, you have Danny Green and LeBron James. Mm. Right, maybe Rajon Rondo. Sorry, Rajon Rondo.
Oh my bad. And, oh my bad. And, I forgot to throw in Bam as well.
And Dwight Howard. They got Dwight Howard. So four guys with final. Dwight Howard went once with Orlando. Rajon Rondo 2008 with. You know, Miami has Udonis Haslam. I know he's not playing, but you know it's good to have guys with
final. But he's a leader in the locker room.
Exactly.
You saw how he was laying into guys the last game. Exactly. I think it was game and 5 in the Boston series,
exactly. So you have Iguodala and Udonis Haslam. And I think it's no different than when the Raptors had Kawhi last year. You know, Kawhi being to the finals, you know, kept these guys on an even keel. It was like, you know, there's no celebration when they were winning games against the Warriors. They're just, after they went up 3-1, you know, there's no celebration, right? And it's like, listen, you don't celebrate, you know, do anything until you win that chip. So I think both teams have veteran guys, but I don't know, man. Like, everybody's counting on LeBron and AD. I'm like,
I don't, you know what? I don't count AD though, man. Like, I know LeBron's gonna get his shit, but I think if Bam touches him up a bit and is allowed to just play him a little rough, I think AD. I don't think AD's mentally that strong to get through the rough spots. I think Miami's gonna give him some rough spots.
Yeah, I think, you know what I think the X factor is for. I think for Miami, I think it's going to be Kelly. If you get some good minutes from Kelly Olynyk, if he can do a good job of guarding, because he's a 7-footer, and if he can do a good job of guarding,
you know, sometimes AD, you forget about that.
And he can shoot,
I know,
right? Because Kelly used to be a guard, and then he had a growth spurt, right? And he was 6'7" at Gonzaga, took that year off, shot up to 7 foot, so he can handle the rock. So Kelly could ball too, right? So if Kelly, I think Kelly's the X factor for Miami because he's versatile like that. He's like AD. He can shoot from the outside. He can put it on the ground. He's to the basket.
He's very streaky. Like if he gets hot,
exactly.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. Exactly. If he gets hot, like it's exactly. Yeah.
So I think you know, athletically, even Leonard could, you know, athletically stay with. He's kind of like Plumlee, could athletically stay with AD. So, you know, make it hard for AD. You know, it's not going to be a blow by. Close out on him and still recover. So I don't know, man. I don't know. If they go zone, slow down LeBron a little bit, you know, we'll see.
The thing about the Lakers that, like, I think that people don't really take credit for, because they get caught up so much with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And, I mean, that's the right way to go in a lot of cases, because they're two first-team All-NBA players. Normally, when you have two of those guys in your roster, you're either making it at the very worst the conference finals, if not the finals, right? But they're not an unbeatable team. You know what I mean? Like, you don't look at them and say, like, holy shit. Like, they're not like the Warriors, you know what I mean, of, like, the last few years where you look on them and they're like, I don't know how we're beating this team, you know? Like, somebody's got to break their leg or something, right?
If Plumlee never had that brain freeze, man, oh my God.
I know.
Oh, my. I'm so pissed. They would have been up.
And that changed the momentum in the series.
Yeah, that would have been a 2-1. That would have been a 2-1 lead.
Yep.
Yeah, that was inexcusable. But
here's the thing for me with LA though, the one guy that really scares me is Rondo. I think he's a disruptor, and he's been there. He's playing great, and I think they actually run better when he's got the ball in his hands and they let him play Rondo ball. He's just finding people, feeding people. I mean, he's just playing. He's playing lights out right now. The dude is even stepping up hitting threes, which I don't understand. I figure that's going to dry up, but he's been hitting his threes as well.
He was hitting those threes. Like, I saw him hit The threes I saw him hit were during the blowout. I saw him hit
No, I'll let him shoot the three, but he's been hitting threes. He's been making shots.
Was he making shots during crunch time or was he making shots during blowout?
No, he's changed. When he comes in the game, he actually changed the momentum of the game when he comes in, though.
Yeah, because he's crafty. I agree. He's crafty. It's not because of his scoring. It's just he's crafty.
He's very crafty.
He gets the pass. He plays defense. He's getting steals. Because he knows, right? Guys are lazy. He's reading guys. You know, he takes advantage of guys when they're lazy, when guys are, you know, guys being careless. Rondo's looking for stuff like that, right? Like, you know, you watch how he gets rebounds, right? He sneaks in and gets rebounds because guys are casual, right? You know, like I watched against Denver. Sometimes, you know, the shot goes up. They think, okay, AD's not going to the glass, so guys are casually going to the board. Rondo sneaks in and gets the rebound. Guys don't box out Rondo. So I agree with you. I think I was thinking the same thing. They got to pay attention to Rondo when he's on the court, man. They got to pay attention to him. You know, they got to know where he is, you know, box him out, you know, and let him shoot.
I think if he's able to take what's his name, Dragon out of his game on the defensive standpoint, I think that would be huge. Because Dragon's averaging like 22 or something.
Oh, yeah, Dragon's going to light him up.
I don't know. Dragic is going to light him up. I don't know. I hope he does. But Rondo's a tough. When he came in that Denver series at one point, he had like two steals on Murray.
Right. But like, what did he do to Jamal? He's smart. He got into Jamal.
Yeah.
He didn't let Jamal operate. He jammed Jamal, got into Jamal, right? Jamal's not used to that. I'm telling you, Dragic is a veteran, man. Jamal wasn't used to that. Jamal thought, you know, guys usually sitting off of Jamal. Rondo was up in him, beat nagging. You forget, Dragic plays international ball too, so he's used to that kind of crafty, those kind of crafty players.
Yeah.
I got Dragic's gonna light him up, man. I'm telling you, Dragic is smart. He's smart.
You know what? I hope you're right, but I have a feeling that Rondo's gonna continue a good play.
Oh, definitely. I agree with that. Definitely. Rondo's gonna look to disrupt stuff and, you know, he's going to get those little, he's going to sneak in and grab this and grab that and get those deflections, get those steals. I have no doubt. Especially when they're putting somebody like Kendrick Nunn, he's just going to like barbecue chicken. He's just going to lick his chops and just freaking get inside that kid's head and just if he plays. So yeah, he'll definitely take advantage of the young guys. Definitely.
Well, that's the one thing I give Miami is that they have great heart and resolve and they got the ability to clamp down on all five positions. As you guys mentioned, they got all the veterans are there. Where they can help. You have an organization that obviously has had LeBron both from a coaching staff perspective as a player, you know, with UD, and then as somebody who's played against in the last four of the last five finals with Iguodala, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest question is just how's the pressure gonna apply to the younger guys in the finals? Like I expect Butler to show up, even though he's never been there himself. I expect him to show just because he plays too hard for that not to happen. Even if he's not efficient offensively, I expect him to be there both sides of the floor. I think Bam is going to be going through the same thing where this is his first real deep playoff run, but just with the way he plays, I expect him to bring it energy-wise. Although I am concerned with him how he's going to play, you know, across seven games against Anthony Davis, but I don't think he's going to be afraid because, again, they're all Kentucky guys. I'm sure they've played against each other in the summertime and everything else, right? So I don't think it's something he's not going to be used to.
Right.
But and then at the same time, like, you know, you wonder, like, if guys like Hero and Duncan Robinson are going to still have that confidence playing on that stage. But, again, as we've been saying for this, you know, the narrative, it's in such different circumstances. You know what I mean? There's no fans in the stands. Like you got the TV pressure, but it's not the same as when there's no fans in the court and you're seeing virtual fans on the scoreboard. It's like being in the champion, and you can speak to this, O'Neal. This is like being at the championship game of a high level AAU tournament.
Yeah,
like that's the feel it's gonna have. So I'm like, if they don't get rattled by any of that kind of pressure, then I think it can actually really be a great series.
I think it's going to be a great series.
I hope you're right.
I don't understand why people think
it's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I'm not worried about it at all. It's going to be a great series. I think Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. I think Miami just had dogs on defense that's just going to compete. They got shooters. You know, they got Jimmy Butler, who's going to hit big buckets. They got Iguodala, smart and savvy. Right? So, I think it's going to be a great season. I do not see Miami laying down at all. You know, when I looked at the Boston series, Boston had like four guys that can go, right? Mm-hmm. Three. I wouldn't even say four.
Talent-wise, they're actually the better team.
Yeah. But, you know, if you look at Lakers, all they have is LeBron and AD. That's it. When you compare them to Miami, people are really saying Miami has the best three to five guys. Like, you know, if you look at Miami's top two, you know, LeBron and AD are better than Miami's top two. But then when you go from three down, Miami actually has a better down, you know, better three guys down. So, you know, it's going to be good, man, you know, because LeBron has to rest at some point. LeBron has to get off the court at some point, right? And, you know, AD has to get off the court at some point. They'll bring in guys like JaVale McGee and whatnot. Yeah, Bam takes them off the dribble, attacks the basket, aggressive. Dwight Howard is strong, right? So we'll see how they play Dwight Howard. Might play Kelly Olynyk against Dwight Howard, shoot over him, mm-hmm. take him off the dribble. We'll see. That's what I would do.
I think the young kids for Miami is going to be fine because I think the leadership, again, that what we discussed earlier, the leadership that Miami brings to the table, I think that's going to carry the young guys. Mm-hmm. I think it's done. They've done that all season, and in the bubble, they've even showed up even more so. I love the Hero. I think he's got a swagger. I don't think he gives a shit. Like you said, O'Neal, I think he's too young and dumb to even understand the moment. You know? And Robinson, I almost think Robinson's playing with house money. Like, when you look at his story, that dude is playing with house money, man. You know? He don't, like, this is just for shits and giggles right now for him. So I think they'll be fine. I think those two guys may be the wild cards for Miami. If those guys play, I think it's going to be very interesting, man. Because you really got to respect that Robinson. All those guys can really flat out shoot the ball, but Robinson's on a whole other level. They really have to respect everybody on that court when they get out there.
Yeah,
and, LA that is.
And he broke the Miami Heat single season record for threes. I think he had like 270 threes this season, which is, even in a shortened season, he still surpassed that record, which is actually I didn't realize he was shooting at that kind of clip. But he's been really impressive. Now, if Miami does win, will it be considered the more probable run that a team has won on the way to the title, like more so than even Houston as a sixth seed back in 95?
No.
No, I don't think
it's the bubble, man. It's the bubble. You can't, the bubble. Yeah, the bubble negates everything, man. It's like,
this is weird time, man.
Yeah, like guys, you know, had 3 months off. That's like basically an off season. So some guys who were supposed to be rookies, really, like their second. It's weird. There's no home court advantage. It was just weird all around. So I wouldn't.
So with that, you know, so
remember the Houston Rockets were back. They won the championship in '94. So it's not like, you know, they've been there. They probably just took what they did was they just paced themselves through the regular season because they knew what, you know, they just needed to have to turn it on in the playoffs. And well, that's what they did.
Yeah.
And that Hero's a good spotlight for what you're just saying in regards to that off, that 3 months off. He came back like balls out, man.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, like, I mean, he was having a pretty good season, but he's come back in the bubble. Like, he's leaned him in scoring a lot of times. Like, this kid is just balling. It's like he matured from that 3 months off and just became a whole different player.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't, you know, it's weird. This whole bubble just kind of throws things off. So it's not like it was a regular season and it was like, yeah, Miami came out of nowhere. It's just, you know, just bubble and just threw a lot of people off.
Okay. So
it's not coming.
So with that said, then, I mean, I'll go back to a question that I was asking when we were all on a podcast a couple months back when the restart was about to happen. If that's the case because of the bubble, is there an asterisk or like half an asterisk on this season then if that's the case, like whether LA or Miami wins because of this bubble experience?
I still say that. I still say from initially what I said a couple of months back, I still say there has to be an asterisk because the situation is so different. You know, I mean, if from now to the end of time, it's changed to bubble play all for the next couple of years, then okay, the asterisk gets removed. But if it goes back to the norm, then yeah, there's going to be an asterisk on this season.
Even with the fact that there's no positive cases, you know, anything shut down.
There's still a case because you're again, there's no crowds. There's no home court advantage. It's a whole different situation. It works probably better for the young kids because it relates more to an AAU season as opposed to a professional season, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, it's a high level AAU tournament. With playoff series, I would say. Go on, O'Neal. I know you were getting cut off before.
No, I'm just saying, you know what? I'm in the camp that you play the games, you win, there's no asterisks. Everybody's going through the same things. So, everybody's dealing with the same thing. Everybody's in the bubble. So there's no asterisks for me. The chip, you want it, you earn it. You know what I mean? It's all good. So I don't think I wouldn't put an asterisk. Because people put an asterisk on the 99 championship. And then they put an asterisk on the 2012 championship. But for me, it's like, man, you win, you win. Everybody went through the same thing. Everybody was facing the exact same thing. So,
Shit, you had some people trying to put an asterisk on the season last year where the Raptors won.
Exactly. Like, oh, things was hurt. I'm like, what the fuck are you asking this? What? Somebody's always hurt on one of the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you look at any league, you know, at some point, that's why coaches, when you talk to coaches, they hope that they make it through the season without injuries, right? And unfortunately, sometimes that's what happens, right? Mm-hmm. Guys, people get hurt, you know? So, but you don't put an asterisk on it. Like, you know, you earned it. Right? You still have to go up there and win.
Now, if LeBron gets his fourth ring, for you guys, where does it rank him, or where does it land him in the annals of history for you guys? For me, I think it he'll finally surpass Robert Horry as one of the great playoff players. I'm just joking. All right. When do you guys go ahead and answer?
For me, people always say that I'm a LeBron hater. I'm like, I don't hate LeBron. I think LeBron's one of the greatest players ever. I just look at things differently in a different perspective. So what I've been lately putting out there on social media and arguing with, you know, the LeBron stands out there, it's really this simple for me. You take a look at, you know, in order to win the NBA championship, first of all, you need one player, you need two top five players, or at least one top five and at least a top 10. And there's always an exception to rule, and I'll go over the exception to the rule. So if you look at Jordan had Pippen, Pippen was a top five, Jordan went to six NBA finals, 6-0, right? Mm-hmm. You look at Kobe had Shaq, top five, both of them were top five, three-peat. Kobe, the exception to the rule, Kobe never had with Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol wasn't even top 50. Pau Gasol was probably top 20, top 25 at the time.
Yeah.
He's up there. And Kobe went back-to-back. LeBron, his first chip with D-Wade, top five, he went 4 NBA finals, only 1-2. The next three with Kawhi, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, top five.
Hold on, you forgot about Bosh too on that.
Well, some people say Bosh is not top 10. Some people say, are you crazy? Bosh is top 10.
The dude was the top power forward in the league at the time.
Exactly. Listen,
what the hell?
But I'm like, okay, I'll give you that. I'm like, he was a top 10, but people want to argue. I'm like, fine, I'll give you. LeBron still had a top five with Kyrie, yet too. And LeBron, you know, with Bosh and Wade. But, you know, people, fans want to argue. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so I'm like, when I look at all of that, you know, LeBron, and now he has AD. Legit top five, top three, right now. So he's gone to the finals with a top five guy, with at least having a top five guy on his team. Great. That's fantastic. But Kobe, right, went to the finals back-to-back, and Pau Gasol was a top 20 guy. Kobe was the only top five guy, and Kobe went back-to-back, right? So to me, Kobe did more with less.
If you count that loss to the Celtics, he actually went three times, but he won twice, but he went three times.
Exactly. Yeah. Great point. And, you know, Jordan, you know, with Pippen, Jordan was always the one carrying the team. And so you have AD carrying LeBron this whole fucking season and in the playoffs, and everybody just talking about LeBron. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? AD's putting up big numbers. Everybody's talking about LeBron. Like, oh my God, it's because of LeBron White. I'm like, no, AD was averaging 30 when he was at the Pelicans, and AD's averaging 30 now. Right? So at the end of the day, you know, everybody's talking. I'm like, so that's what to me is like, nothing's really changed. So he's got to another, he has a top five guy, he's got to another final. That's fantastic. That's what he's supposed to do. Right? Kawhi, you know, I don't know if you can say Paul George is a top five, top 10 guy now. But some people say he is, right? And Kawhi is, again, the other way. You know, Kawhi at the top five. Well, one of these teams weren't going to make it. So, unfortunately, you know. But and what I also look at, too, is if you're a top five guy, so if I'm in the East, what other top five guys am I going up against? And this is the only, you know, when LeBron was in the East for 15 years, right? What other top five guys was he going up against? In 06, in 07 when he went to the finals, it was just D-Wade. Who was the other top five guy in the East, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in 2018, he didn't have Kyrie. He had Giannis. And who else was the other top five guy?
Yeah, I don't even know if Giannis was the top five guy at that point.
2 years ago, he was top five, 2018.
2 years ago?
Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was top 10, whatever.
Yeah.
But my point is, so what other top five guys was LeBron going? And I love the fact that Stephen A. keeps bringing it up. Who was LeBron going up against when he was getting to the finals? And people are like, oh, well, you know, he's now he's in the West. Last year, even if he never got hurt, he would have made it to the finals. They're in third, fourth. Great. Right? But he wasn't going to make it to the finals. You know, like people are like, oh, well, no. Even if he didn't get hurt, they would not have made it to the finals. Maybe semifinals, maybe conference finals, big stretch, but that wasn't even going to happen. So at the end of the day, for me, nothing's changed with LeBron. He's a top three, top five, top 10, depending on who you ask, right? You ask me, he's a top 10. Some other people have him at top three, right? So for me, you know, nothing's changed. The fact that he's gone to another finals, all it means is LeBron stands out there. They get excited. You know, the dicks get hard. They're salivating. You know what I mean? You know, they're on that. The fact that he's 35 years old, I'm like, Jordan won MVP chips and all that at 35 years old. Like, relax. People act like this stuff has not been 17 years. I'm like, yo, Kobe played 20 years. Yo, relax, man. Like, people have done this stuff. It's just calm down, right? Calm down. People don't want to see the deficiencies in LeBron's game, right? The fact that he's still a streaky shooter. The fact that he's slowing down. But, you know, he's a great player. And to be great, you got to be consistent. And he's been consistent throughout his year, and that's why he's great. Great players are consistent, right? So, but to me, he hasn't changed anything. He's another finals. If they win, he's just going to be 4-10, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to win 10 finals. He's won 4 times. That's it.
And what about you, Curtis?
I mean, the guy's a great player. You can't take anything away from that. He's a great player. But last year, as soon as AD went there, I said, fuck. Here we go. Here's another deep run because he's got a top five player. Like, and I think O'Neal said he's maybe top three. And the reason why AD scared me more than anything else, because he's like a hybrid. There's not many people out there like AD, right? Like, you may get a compare him to who? Durant, maybe. And I'm just saying, regards to height. And what he can do with that height. So with AD there, it really takes you over the top. So yep. A fourth championship, it really doesn't mean much to me. And I still think, I know, Neil, you're saying that the bubble doesn't matter. It's an equalizer. Everybody's playing on the same court at the same time and so forth. But I still think the bubble season is a bubble season. There's an asterisk. But again, AD really... AD really, really was a forefront in this season, carrying that team. He was a big piece of that team.
Exactly, he carried the team.
Well,
he's carrying the team.
But look,
everybody's going to want to put LeBron ahead of Jordan. I'm like, what are you talking about? Jordan carried all of his team. Kobe carried all of his team. LeBron's not carrying his team.
LeBron knows that because he I shouldn't say. He knows that because in his history, he's tend to take in back seats to a number of teammates as well in the past. But you see him this season as well, giving AD the mantle and saying, hey, take us home. You know, like he literally said, take us home, get us to the finish line. And AD has done that, right? Yes.
But who's getting the credit? LeBron's getting the credit.
I was going to say, I disagree with that, Curtis, because... What was it like a couple of weeks ago when Giannis was announced MVP and it seemed like almost all the analysts were like against Giannis for winning, which I mean, we had a podcast on a few weeks back or a couple months ago, where we're talking about like our awards. what you butchered by saying that that Carmelo Anthony was the second team All NBA. But that's neither here nor there. We'll just forget about that. But the other part of it though was that.
Wait, and you invited him back?
Yeah, of course. Carmelo was balling.
Sure.
But one of the comments that stuck out to me was you know, LeBron being upset that he didn't win MVP. And I thought it was interesting because I was looking at it from the perspective of, well, everything you were saying, you know, when AD got there throughout the season was, this is AD's team. I'm going to let AD take the forefront, all this stuff, and, you know, lead the team in assists. And, I mean, and from the stats, AD pretty much led them all, like, led all the stats except for assist, right?
Exactly.
Like he led the team in every other stat pretty much. And but hearing LeBron say, like, he was upset that he didn't get nominated for MVP, I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it defeats the whole narrative from what he was talking about this whole year. About this was not saying this is AD's team, but, like, AD's going to be, like, the, you know, the guy more driving this car. I never really believed that narrative from the beginning because I'm like, it's...
I'm about to say that. Do you think he actually... As much as he, but he, like in his career, he's always let people lead on his team, take the last shot. He won't mm-hmm. take the last, like, he's always done that. So seeing it this year, then that's par for the course. But he still wants the credit. He still needs the credit. That's part of LeBron's camp, right? Yep. They still need the credit. They still need to carry that mantra, yeah. Like he's the king. Right,
and I'm gonna be that descending voice that's always gonna remind people why he shouldn't get that credit. I don't care what anybody says. Like, people want to overshadow that. The guy's great, man. But
he's great. You
know, I was gonna keep reminding people. Guys are trying him. Kyrie hit the shot. Kyrie averaged 27 points in 2016. Kyrie and LeBron, I remember, both had a 40-point game. Like, everybody keeps talking about LeBron and that block. I'm like, that block happened at 2 minutes left in the fucking quarter, and it was still tied going down to the last seconds of the game. What the fuck are you talking about? I never saw that game, and I thought the block, the way they described it, was Kyrie hit the three, and then that was like going back down to try and tie the game or something, or get them close, and LeBron blocked it. That block happened 2 fucking minutes left in the game. That means Golden State had more possessions after that. So fucking people get excited. Oh, this is one of the greatest blocks ever.
Speaking of that block, from a basketball standpoint, I couldn't believe they tried to compare the block that Bam had on Tatum.
Exactly.
The block that Bam had, that was a one-on-one, mano-a-mano, straight-up, crazy ball, left-handed block. That was
in
amazing.
The ball was in the rim.
That was an amazing block.
Not somebody
coming from the back or from weak side where you don't see them.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Yeah, from a basketball, if you play ball, it's none of a comparison.
Mm-hmm. Not even close. And even I'll even give Tayshaun Prince over that one because Reggie Miller, I think, was about to tie the game or something like that, or go up and think that layup would have put Indiana up or somewhere, changed the game. It was in the last second when Tayshaun Prince blocked that. LeBron blocked this shit with 2 minutes left in the fucking game. And people are losing their shit over them. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, a minute 50 left in the game. People are raving over that block. Like, you know, like, come on, man. Like,
it was a great block, but I understand what you're saying. No, like, there's more credit for that than Kyrie hitting the actual go ahead shot.
Hitting the shot. People don't.
And it was a huge shot. Like, that was a sidestep in three. Like, that was a huge shot. Like, you know.
Tough shot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And they're talking about that fucking block. I'm like, are you kidding me? Holy shit.
All I'll say to that is when Barrera plays you in the NBA
that's
finals,
it. And that's all I bring that up.
I can't defend you, man.
Finals. You built your team.
You.
You had a top five and a top ten, and you choked. You had J.J. Barrera guarding you, and you refused to take him to the basket. Come on, man. You were the fifth leading scorer in the tournament. Dirk was number one. Wade number two, Bosch number three, Jason Terry, you know, technically was ahead. They were tied for fourth, but Jason Terry was like 17.6. LeBron was 17 points. I'm like, come on, man. And this was the eighth year in the league, and you built the team. You had a freaking decision. and you went on stage saying how you're going to win 8 championships after you fucking lost to the Spurs after your second, you ran it down out of town. And we're supposed to put you ahead of Jordan and Kobe? Fuck out of here.
And people wonder why you're not a LeBron hater? Like,
no, but again, I'll give him all the credit in the world. The dude's a beast. But
of course there's, he is.
But we have to stop with the comparisons. There's no comparison to be had. There's none. I can bring up too many failures for it to be a comparison.
I'll start off by answering my own question. I guess we're all on the same page here. I don't think it changes much for me either. I still have him as a top five player pretty much of all time and the best player of his generation. Like, it's funny because when you say that he's the best player of his generation, I feel like some people still get insulted when you say that. Like, that's not enough. I mean, being the best player of your generation is shit. Like, that is a major, major accomplishment in sports. You know what I mean? Like, for the time that you played, you're basically the best player of the time you were drafted until, throughout your prime, whatever, you're the best player. That's still a major accomplishment. But I think if he wins his fourth one, like, you're going to have to start ranking him with some of the great champions ring-wise, because, like, for example, like, he passes like a Larry Bird, because Larry Bird has three. Larry Bird had three, right? Mm-hmm. But he still has, I sometimes get called a LeBron hater, but I'm just giving you facts here. He has the lowest
facts. You're a hater, no, man, no. He facts. You're a hater.
But he has the lowest success rate of finals winners of like great players. Like, even if he wins this time, it's going to be 40% of the time.
Exactly. You know,
Jordan won 100% of the time. Shaq won 4 out of 6. Kobe won 5 out of 7. Magic won went 5-4. Bird won 3-2. Duncan won 5 out of 6. You know what I'm saying? LeBron won 4 out of 10.
No, 3 out of, right now he's 3 and 9. So right now he's
3 and 9, right? So sorry, 3 and 9. He's 3 and 9 right now. So he's only won 33% of the time that he's been there. And
yeah,
considering exactly. Considering the fact that he's the forefather of, I call it, player empowerment and player movement, I think that's the thing with him though, right? Like, because of that decision, and even though it was 10 years ago, the way he stacked his teams in the last decade, that cloud is always gonna carry over him. It doesn't, like, the certain section of people, it doesn't matter what happens. I can't argue with people that think that way, because
it's not even. But you don't even need to argue. You just always keep pointing it out. After 2000, and LeBron went to the NBA Finals in 2007, got swept. Nothing in 2008, 2009 he got MVP, lost in the second round. 2010 got MVP, lost in the second round. Realized, you know what? I need to get myself a top five guy.
Went to the conference finals in 2009. I got the stat here.
No, he didn't.
They played Orlando in the conference final 2009, and Orlando beat him.
You sure? Because I got it. He lost 4-2. I thought it was the second round they lost.
No, it was a conference final.
All right. So at the end of the day, let me look it up. He started building his own squad. He's building his own squad from 2011. That means he should be 10 for 10, Gretchen, if he's better than Jordan. He's building his own squad. He's putting top five guys on his team. So if he's that great and he's that better than Jordan, he should be winning. Mm-hmm. He should be taking with another top five guys, he should be winning the chips easy. If he was built like that. But he's not.
So O'Neal,
not better than Jordan. Yes.
O'Neal, when I give you that product, I have one shirt that I'll give it to you. It's on the house. And it says, the gold does not get swept.
Thank you.
I'll give you that. That shirt is on the house. It says the goat does not get swept.
I think with the LeBron stuff is because we've all been watching sports for a lot of years, and it's not even so much within what we're watching on the court. You're also being a part of the narrative, and you're getting fed the narrative of the storylines of what's happening, off the court, right? And for me, what it started, like, again, I don't have a hatred for LeBron, but like, I just look at it, like, I'm kind of like you, and I look at it from a different aspect in the sense of, like, I just look at the narratives, and you're seeing it coming a mile away, and you're like, wow, I can't believe people are just like eating this up. Like, it's crazy. So like, So, like, when he won his second title, right, like with Miami, when he went back-to-back, I remember from then you were starting to hear, hey, so who's really better? Is it him or Jordan? And you're like, who the hell ever thought? What are you talking? What? Yeah. He won twice. Like, who's comparing him?
Yeah.
And then within a year, now you're walking into gyms and stuff, and guys are like, yo, I don't know if Jordan's better than him, man. I don't know. And you're just like, wow, you're actually seeing the narrative in real time change minds. And it's crazy to see. And then
that is why I will break it down for anybody who wants to debate and tell me. And I'm like, giving facts does not mean you hate. Facts is facts, right? It's putting shit in perspective. Like, this is the facts. This is not, I'm not making up, this is a fact. LeBron had top five guys in all these NBA finals. Right now, he's 30%, and if he wins, he'll be 40%. So even building his team with a top five guy, he's always had a top five guy. 8 out of the 10 finals, he goes, obviously, well, now. So 8 out of the 10 finals, he's always had a top five guy. And he's lost more than he's won. He's not better than Jordan.
And the one thing that I say too with that is when he went back to Cleveland, because I know people look at it as like, hey, you know, you wanted to go home and you wanted to save. And I've talked about this many times where you wanted to save Cleveland and do all this stuff. And that's fine. I'm sure that was part of it. But you had Kyrie sitting in the wings. That was number one. Being able to flip those assets like Wiggins, for example, for Kevin Love, that was number two. Like the way that was set up, the plan was, because if you think about where the league was at that point, like he basically created a super team in Cleveland and destroyed another by leaving Miami. You're only worried about the Spurs, but they were getting older. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know Kawhi was going to be Kawhi at that point yet. You had the Clippers that were like, you know, you still weren't 100% sure about them. You know what I mean? Like, they were like an up-and-coming team, but you still weren't sure. So was OKC. But again, I thought the move was he was going to run the decade off winning titles in Cleveland, and then Golden State showed up. Nobody expected Golden State to do what they... like. I'm not Kevin Durant, Steph Curry fan from Davidson. But I would be lying to you if I told you I saw what was going to happen to his career. You know what I mean? So I don't think even a diehard Golden State fan would not have predicted back in 2015, the start of the season, that Golden State was going to be like a mini dynasty. Like, nobody saw that coming. I don't think anybody expected that. People thought they were going to be for real, but nobody expected them they were going to win 3 out of the next 4 titles, steal a Kevin Durant from another contender and just run the rest of the decade off. So, you know what I mean? So going to LA here and getting Davis, I think it's another chance to like, I think what is funny, I think this is like the window. I think this is the window, because I think the West is going to change so much. Like this year, not to say they're not going to be contenders, but we kept saying like, well, Golden State coming back next year. And depending on, I guess we'll talk about the Clippers in a minute, but depending on what they do, again, seeing how they're unfolding the last few days, I'm not sure about them now. But depending on what happens, like it's the window isn't as big as people think for the Lakers. I think if they're going to win, it has to be now.
This is his one chip, and that's it. He's done. Yeah. He ain't winning again.
Unless he convinced somebody else to move to the spot.
Well, and then that's the other thing too. Like, everybody's ripping Kawhi and all this stuff, right? Which, understandable. They lost. They choked. They deserve to get ripped. But LeBron was trying to get him too to come to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he was also trying to get. So he would have had really and truly 3 top 5 guys on one team if Kawhi decided to say yes.
And Kawhi ain't stupid, because then everybody would have been giving LeBron credit.
Yeah, and after the season that you just came off over the Raptors, I just couldn't see Kawhi doing that. It just didn't seem like he was built that way.
I thought that was really embarrassing that a superstar would ask like 2 other top. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, how low can you go? That's like really pathetic, man.
Exactly.
Like,
you already got
AD, you know, you're trying to get Kawhi, like. Like, good Lord. Like, you may as well have got PG to come across to. Like shit, you may as well just take your Olympic team and just go play.
Like, exactly. That's what I tell people, man. This guy's not a a true competitor in that sense. He's not a true competitor in that sense. He just doesn't like to lose, right? He reminds me of a kid that I coached, taught in grade 8, just hates to lose, right? It's not even so much he's a competitor, wants to beat people. He just hates to lose. He doesn't like the feeling of losing. So in his mind, let me stack the team as much as I can just so I don't lose, right? Just so I'm not known as a loser. He doesn't care. He's not a competitor that understands, you know what? I'll take this L, right? But it's building up my team, making me stronger. He hates to lose. That's why he jumps ship. He's looking to jump and find the next situation.
The crazy thing is, if he did convince Kawhi to go, and it was three of those guys together, the LeBron fans would have still said he's better than Jordan after he won two or three in a row. Exactly. They would have still said that.
Exactly. Well, I don't think so. Remember, I said this: if the Lakers, you know, if follow the script and end up winning the title, just be prepared, because again, I think I'm just more tired of the created narratives that you see that's being built. Be prepared for LeBron's fourth title to equal six of Jordan's. So if you're gonna go to that Jordan and LeBron thing, what's gonna happen is they're gonna count. I'm just telling you this: they're gonna count the Cleveland ring as two championships, because people already try to count it as two, and then because of the bubble, because of everything that happened with the anti-black racism, the social movement, Kobe Bryant dying, you know, the dedication. This season is so important that if he wins, it's gonna count as two. It'll count as one for Miami, but it's gonna count as two LeBron. So therefore, his four is gonna equal to six. So just remember, when you're watching First Take and you're watching all these shows and Undisputed and all these shows, that narrative, just remember, like, that narrative when that starts popping up in a couple of weeks if they win. Just remember that. So I want to just mention a couple of things here. Quick question. Why does Rondo get more shit for playing with LeBron?
Why does he
Why does Rondo get more shit for playing with LeBron? Reason why I ask is because it still seems to me like if he and some of those 08 Celtics see Ray Allen on the street, it's like on-site thing. But yet, it's okay to play with LeBron and win rings with him. Like, every time I watch him play on the Lakers, I'm like, I don't understand. How is he not getting ripped more for this? Like,
what I heard was, remember, Sam Perkins also played with LeBron.
Sam Perkins.
Not Sam Perkins.
Perkins.
What's his name? Perkins.
Oh, Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins. Yeah.
What I heard was, it's the way Ray Allen did it. It wasn't so much the fact that he went and played with LeBron. It's the way he did it. Right? Because they thought they were brotherhood, they were tight. They talked about things, they were close. And Ray Allen never said anything to them. He never ran it by them. He never said, listen, guys, you know what? Twilight of my years is winding down. I think I'm gonna go leave over and try to see if I get two with LeBron over in Miami. Never said anything, he just left. And that's what I was listening to a podcast, and I think Kevin Garnett broke it down, and even Paul Pierce, that's what happened. Like, Paul Pierce got past it, he moved past it, right? You know, but like guys like Garnett and I think Paul Pierce and Kendrick kind of moved past it, but Rondo and Garnett were not. They didn't move past it. They just didn't like the way Ray did it. It wasn't that he went and played with LeBron, just how he did it. And even Garnett has this thing against LeBron, right? Like, even Garnett's not, he respects LeBron, but he's still like, he still hear him talk. Like,
oh, yeah,
like,
him and Pierce, LeBron. Too. Like, they still like, carry that LeBron, rivalry right? with them.
Right. Perkins is lucky to be there. Like, what the hell did he get past? What the hell did he get past?
Exactly. So,
like, shit.
At the end of the day, so that's what was up. He was, it was just how, according to them, how Ray Allen kind of did it when he went and played with LeBron. So it wasn't so much that he played with LeBron, it's just he didn't say anything to the guy. And again, the rivalry was so tense and they hated him. Like, there was a, it went off the court. Like, off the court, not just on the court, it was like this. Kevin Garnett said it, that All-Star weekend, it's like they see them over there, it's not even a head nod, it's like, whatever. And they go, they sit somewhere else. And so for Ray Allen to just go and jump on the team like that without saying anything, it was, so that's why, I guess it's different now. And Perkins went and played, and then Rondo's playing with LeBron.
Yeah, I just find it interesting. I still think he gets under the radar treatment for that. I still do. Just considering how much they hated LeBron back then. I'm not saying you can't play with him again, but just the way just their venom for Ray Allen. I'm like, if Rondo wins a ring, I'm like, how is it going to be one or the other? They're going to pop bottles with Rondo, but not Allen. And I mean, shit. I don't know. I just find it funny when I watch that. Does Coach Spo go back to being in the top three of coaches if he wins this ring? If he's not there already,
no.
What's your beef with Spo? Why can't he be in the top three?
I have no beef. I'm just trying to get caught up in the moment. No.
No, I'm saying if he wins, if he gets his three.
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
Who's your top three?
He's my top three coaches in the NBA. Popovich.
Of all time or currently?
No. I'm currently. Not all time. Currently.
Popovich. I don't think Popovich is always going to be my, to me, he's a great coach. Popovich. The Utah coach. And Nick Nurse. Was my not in specific order, but those are my top three.
Quinn Snyder,
Popovich, Quinn Snyder, and Nick Nurse. I love coaches. I love people who do more with less. That and really shows me what you have.
And with that being said, I'll say Popovich, McMillan, and Nurse until this last playoff round. That I wanted to stab Nurse like a thousand times.
I know.
Curtis, you can't count McMillan. He's not there anymore, bro.
Shit. Yeah. How sad was that?
I know, right?
How sad was that, man?
Yeah, shit. I like Quinn Snyder. I think Quinn Snyder does a great job year in and year out having Utah. The way they play, they were always one of the top defensive teams in the league. Offensively, they do some good stuff. Doing more with less is always big for me. And that shows to me, especially as a coach, like coaching guys up and getting the best out of guys and the most out of guys.
So, and that's why I love McMillan, man. Same thing.
Yeah.
I know he's not there, but it's the same thing. That dude should have a team right now. All these teams to have him pick them up already.
Yeah,
what the hell?
I feel the same way about Doc Rivers. Okay, so I'm gonna come back to the finals prediction. I'm gonna save that for the very end. Are any of you surprised? I'm just gonna move away from the finals just for a second. But are any of you surprised at the speed that the Clippers seem to be imploding?
No.
Hollywood.
Yeah, no. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been on winning teams and I've been on losing teams, and obviously from the outside, everything looked okay, but clearly it wasn't, and they weren't a team. They weren't together. There's jealousy towards not necessarily Kawhi, because they knew the load management. But Paul George wanted the Kawhi treatment, and Paul George didn't really do anything. And I think that's where it was. And Paul George was a diva, and the way he was behaving, I think, that's where they fell apart. And you can see it. And what did it for me? I didn't want to admit it. I was forcing myself. When Lemon Pepper Lou went to the strip joint, you knew those were little things. Those are the little things. Like, people sacrifice to win a championship. You got to sacrifice. And when Lemon Pepper has not won a chip yet, you would think that he would sacrifice, knowing that if I go, I'm not getting in trouble. Instead of sacrificing, I don't need to go here. Lemon Pepper Lou went to the, and that's when he knew they were going to win. And so, with all this thing coming out, right? Because that's what they do. They keep things in house, and then eventually, when things don't go the way they're supposed to, then you start finding out stuff like, LeBron in Cleveland. You hear that LeBron's last year in Cleveland, a lot of stuff were going down that shouldn't have, that weren't good. And that's why, again, they never won. They weren't really a team, right? Mm-hmm. The Lakers, when they got swept by, Detroit, you found out that, things weren't really kosher there.
Yeah,
right?
They were imploding.
They're imploding. At that point, instead of going for a fourth, you know, Shaq and Kobe were like, well, fuck it. They're just finally fed up with each other. And, you know, Kobe was finally like, fuck him. And he just imploded. So you find these things out after, right? It's when, and I'm glad, you know, it's a good thing. I'm glad they lost to Denver, because Denver exposed them that they weren't, you know, when you have to go through true adversity, you know, that's when you realize, that's when you know when a team's a team. And when they had to go, when they were going through true adversity, they never stuck together. They fell apart, and it was every man for themselves. And so that's why they deserve it. They're not a true team.
It made me more upset just to see how fragile they seem to be, really and truly. Because you look at the whole situation, you know, you're hearing stories about how Montrez and Paul George had beef before the bubble and inside the bubble. They had different squabbles during the year. People had squabbles or beefs with Paul George overall, the length of what you were saying, to the point where when they lost game 70, you try to do like a speech at the end. Guys are rolling their eyes and, like, you know, just going about their way when he was talking. Like, so like, he lost a level of respect there, you know, with some of those guys on the team. Now you're hearing rumors. I mean, I don't know if this is true, but, you know, you're hearing rumors that that Lou Will was requesting a trade. I don't know how true that is. Yeah. You're now hearing that that people on the team and within the organization was mad that Zubac didn't play more in the Denver series, because apparently when Montrez was playing with PG and Kawhi, the point differential was like minus 16, was horrendous defensively when he was on the court, but it was like plus 11 when Zubac was in the game.
Yeah.
You know, part of that lends to why Doc got fired.
Of course.
So it's like you look at all those things, and it's like, sorry, go ahead.
Should we fire Nurse too with the Gasol and Ibaka point differential?
And, you know, and it's so funny because, you know, it was so funny because, so Doc stayed with what he normally did, his normal rotations and how he played Montrez down at the end. And Nurse went against what he normally did,
right?
Nurse was normally using 9-10 guys, right? But then the playoff comes, he's going to 6-7 guys. And, you know, where Doc stayed with Montrez, even though Doc, you know, made the adjustment, right? And that's what you're supposed to do. You go from series to series. You make the adjustments, man, from series to series. And Doc, you know, like with the Lakers, and I said from day one, the Lakers, when they were playing Houston, if they don't go small, Houston's going to beat them. And, of course, after game one, Dwight Howard and McGee never played again, right?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It's like you just make, you know, that's why you bring them in, and that's why you have guys so that, even freaking, you could have given Joakim Noah some minutes, right? Because he was on the Clippers. Like, give him some minutes to guard.
Just to try to help deal with Joker, yeah.
Yeah, man. And put him in the dunker spot like you do with Montrez, because Montrez can't shoot. Put him in the dunker spot. Yeah, he might not get a lot of points, but, you know, he's going to give you some rebounds. He's going to play hard, give you some minutes, man. So, you know what, people like, you know, Stephen A. I was listening to him, and he's like, Doc shouldn't have got fired because of the bubble. It wasn't for the bubble, you should have. But I'm like, fuck Doc. Like, there's no adjustments made. You gotta make adjustments, man. You gotta be like, okay, you know what? We're about winning. So I know I would normally ride you, but sorry, big fella, I'm gonna sit you down, right? You know, you can't.
You can't guard Joker.
Joker is just bigger than you. He's having his way with you. He's taller. So we gotta find a way to slow him down a little bit and make it a little bit difficult for him to shot. So sorry, homie. Right, maybe if he's not on the court, we'll put you in or whatever, but we'll figure out something like that. But no adjustments being made, man. So
sadly, this conversation is just pissing me off because it's bringing me back to the Raptors. I just want to leave. So pissed off with that.
I know
everything you're saying is what happened in that damn series.
Yeah,
you know,
you see players get picked up late trade deadline or whatever, and they're like, you know, they're picking off for their runs in the deep run in the playoffs. And to me, you're going to be playing four series, potentially. So you adjust from series to series, right? So maybe, this series, you don't play Ibaka and Gasol. But then next season, they should be playing. You know what I mean? But don't just go, I'm not going to play these guys the whole playoffs. I'm going to play certain guys the whole playoffs. You got to adjust, man. You got to make some adjustments. You got to adjust if you're truly about winning. You gotta be just, and you can't be stubborn in your ways.
But when your numbers are saying this person is plus 16 when he's on, this person is minus 20. How do you stay with a guy who's minus 20?
Exactly.
That shit makes no sense to me.
None. And the fact that where the NBA is, like, you have guys, it's so advanced now technologically, is that the minute something happens, they're replaying. You can see them, like in football, when, you know, in the past, when players would come off and they would go over the play. Players are going over where they make mistakes. They're so analytics at halftime. They have analytics at halftime. They're going over the analytics at halftime. How the fuck are you not adjusting, man? It's so frustrating. Like, it's not hard. Don't make it hard. It's not fucking hard.
But that's the thing I want to ask about Doc too, because for me, once I heard the stats about a 3-1 series lead and lost the series, and Doc out of the 7 times this happened, Doc had 3 of them. I was like, man, in most cases you're gonna be fired. But I just thought because he had so much sway, like he would still get like at least one more chance. But the fact that he got fired, like I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked. Because of that fact, I'm like, you had the Clippers with, you know, Blake Griffin, CP3, that whole era, the Dunk City era, the Lob City era. You had that whole time, and you never got out of the second round, you know. And then to come to find out, you get this team now, which was everybody at this point was thinking they're gonna, like the amount of people that thought they were gonna win it all. We all did. I had them picked. I thought it was gonna be a great 7-game series. Like I wanted to see the knockout dragout series between them and the Lakers. I couldn't wait for that. I was waiting all year for that, O'Neal. And for you to not to come like you had a 3-1 lead and you did not come through on that end. I was like, yo, I was so like, again, I'm not a Clippers fan, but I was, yo, trust me, the anger I had in my body, it was like I was a Clipper. I was Clipper Darryl. Like, that's how I felt.
Calvin, listen, I felt exactly, I was so disgusted. When they lost game five, I gave them a pass on game five. I'm like, you know what, enough 3-1. Okay, give them a blood. Mm-hmm. Game six, I was pissed. I was so mad. And then game seven, game six, I was really disgusted in game six. I'm like, you know, they blew a 19-point lead in game
six. I didn't even see game six because that's how much confidence I had the Clippers are going to win. When I came home and I saw the ticker and I was like, wait, what? What?
Game six, I was so disgusted in game six. I was so disgusted. I felt sick to my ass. I wanted to, you know, I was at that point. I was like my Jamaican grandfather, my stepdad. Just what, let's buy them. What, let's trade everybody. Like, want to spin on the TV. Like, what's wrong with these guys? I was just so angry. I'm like, you guys, the body language, the way they were playing. And then game seven, I'm like, are you guys really going to lose?
They basically game seven?
Quit. You know what? I missed a couple of games. I missed a couple of games. But the one thing I do remember, because I was working, I came home, and two of the games that they lost, wife said to me, they need to trade Doc, get rid of Doc Rivers.
Oh,
because
wow.
She says, every game I see, they have a big lead, and then they lose it, and he doesn't make any adjustments.
Yep.
And I'm like, I didn't see the game. She's like, they had an 18-point lead, and he didn't make any adjustments. He kept playing the same guy. And I was like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Not to say she doesn't know ball, but, you know, it's not her thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she called it, and she's been calling it for years. She's been saying, Doc Rivers, ain't shit.
They killed the fucking Clippers on the high pick and roll with fucking Jokic and Murray. That's all they did the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
They did just high pick and roll. That's it.
Yeah.
I think I came home for game seven and I watched the last quarter. And the thing that stood out for me in the last quarter was the lack of energy that I've never seen Kawhi play with. And I was like, what's wrong with this team? They don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
you're in game seven.
It's almost like he said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Remember, people forget, Kawhi hinted. He said something, like there's a lot of stuff going on, right? He said something, he hinted, but he didn't go into it. And I think Kawhi was just fed up because he knew the bullshit that was going on, right? I think Kawhi was just fed up. The guys were just, you know, guys were not winners.
Well, right? But I think, like one of the things I always said, not to cut you off, but one of the things that I always felt like they had a sense of entitlement, and at first, you know, I was saying that like they had a sense of entitlement because they had Kawhi and Kawhi won, they acted like they were the champions or they were repeating, but like it was Kawhi that won, not everybody else that won, But I wonder, like, looking into it a little bit deeper, I wonder if that goes back to, like, Doc Rivers, too, in a sense, because when Doc Rivers won with the Celtics back in, what was it, 2008, whenever it was, that team was so overly confident, borderline cocky in terms of how they carried themselves, which is fine because you won. But, like, the way they carried themselves, when you hear Garnett and you hear Pierce and stuff talk to this day, great players, the way they carry themselves and the way they talk, they sound like they won, like, three titles. But they won once. Yep. You know what I mean? But So I'm like, where is that coming from? The fact, I you carry yourself like you three-peated, but you won one time. Like, so why are you carrying yourselves like... So it's like, I wonder if that's coming from Doc, too, because it's like you look at the similarities between the attitudes between both teams, at least the Celtics won, but it's kind of that similar entitlement, you know what I mean? Where it's like, yo, we're champions, and it's like, well, this is 2012, you won in 2008, why do you feel like you're you know what I mean? Like, it's just weird. But at least, like I said, with the Celtics, at least they won. At least they won a title, so at least they can have that entitlement, I guess, in a sense. But even though I didn't think it was deserved the way they were carrying themselves, but I wonder if that's also on Doc too for not checking that. You know, to go a little deeper into that, because I just feel that's a little weird. You know,
I tell you that team is gonna have to get a hold of the number two, though. Because Paul George has shown that he cannot.
They traded everybody. They gave him a round. They gave him everybody for this fucking guy. That's horrible.
That dude just.
That's horrible.
Shit the bed. Like,
that's like badly. That's like going to Cuba, spending all your life savings to bring up back your wife, and she goes, I just don't leave you, guy. You spend your life saying, go bring her and she come and leave you. Horrible. What the fuck? That should be
that dude was garbage, man. That dude was garbage. God.
But the thing is, it's tough with them. Is what do you do with them? Like you kind of have, because of just what you said. You have to keep them. Like the thing that's gonna hurt them is, my thing is, what do you do with Montrez? Because I think you need him on that team, because, like, see, the thing is with Kawhi the thing is with Kawhi and Paul George, both of them have a quiet disposition about them. So Montrez carries that energy for them. Like, he's the guy that sparks every, like, he carries that energy for them, like, coming off the bench and everything else. So I'm like, he doesn't, his defense could be a lot better. You know, he got exposed for being undersized. Genetics failed him for not being 7 feet tall. But with that,
he's limited offensively.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
I said he's limited offensively.
Right, but on top of that, go ahead.
Your energy giver is Patrick Beverley. Is your energy giver? Patrick Beverley is the one that brings the energy. He's the one that wilds guys up. He's not fucking Matt.
Yeah, I think it's easier to replace that energy on the wing than it is to replace it in the a big. You know what I mean? Like, those guys. I'm not saying. Like, so, for example, like a Tristan Thompson is up for free agency, for example. Is Tristan Thompson going to give you the same?
I'll go get him.
Right. And I would, too, if I'm the Clippers. But is he going to give you 20 points a game coming off the bench?
Yeah.
Probably not.
What are you talking about?
You don't
they
think
never
so?
Won Cleveland, they never ran any place with Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson's are finishing with 20 and 25. Yeah, man. And Tristan Thompson shows up in the playoffs. Come on, man. I would make that trade in a heartbeat.
I mean, it's not a trade. He's up for free agency. I'm talking about Harrell.
I would do him just because he's a bigger player. He's a bit bigger, and the lack of size on Harris, he was exposed in the playoffs. I thought he was a great rebounder, but then I saw his stats. I'm like, he sucks.
He
didn't even rebound.
Yeah,
you're talking about the Denver series.
Yeah, the Denver series. Okay. He was horrible.
I would take Tristan all day. Tristan's athletic. Tristan's a dog. He's from Brampton, guy. Yo, guy, we gotta deal with my guy. <I'll take Tristan. laughs> Dump him in his mouth, again.
But I'm just looking at it from the perspective of like, he's gonna be an interesting case for free agency, because I'm like, what do you pay Montrez? And he's not young. Like, he's not old because he's 26. But he's not as young as I thought he was. I don't know when he's turning 27, but I'm like, the fact that he's an energy guy, I'm like, he doesn't have like a 10-year window. that window fades a little faster than people realize, especially when the injuries start coming, right? So, like, for him, it's like he's got to score now, I would think. And I'm like, I don't know where he's going to get that in open market. I know he liked Toronto in terms of his Instagram follows, but I'm like, nah, dog, keep that shit clear for 2021, dog. We'll pass. It's okay. We'll pass. We'll take Tristan Thompson, damn it. Let him come back to Toronto for a year. Mm-hmm. Or at least it doesn't affect the cap. Like, we need Giannis, man. We need Giannis. So, and what if the Clippers implode another year? You think, is anybody opposed to having Kawhi come back to Toronto? Anybody? Anybody?
He ain't coming back. Who needs Giannis?
Of course.
You said we need Giannis?
I said we'll take Giannis. Oh, hell yeah, I want Giannis. You don't want Giannis? I'll take Giannis in a heartbeat.
No. Why?
Come on, O'Neal. Stop it. I'm taking Giannis.
No,
I would take. No, I would why? Take. I would take Giannis because why? He's a two-time MVP. I'm trying to explain. He's a two-time MVP. He gives you everything defensively.
Okay. And what has he done in the playoffs?
Well, he can lead on the Raptors for that. Then, if that's the case,
you know who
the Raptors need a superstar. You know that, O'Neal. The Raptors need a superstar. Look, you just saw what happened. You just saw what happened in that Boston series.
All I say is if they were to pick up Giannis, they got to get rid of Pascal. I can't take two of those guys on the same team.
They're redundant.
He's just a better version of Pascal. Like, he's a freak. But they're the same. It's redundancy on both of them.
Listen, here's what I'm doing. If I do take Giannis, I'm not doing this fucking bullshit when he's bringing the ball up the fucking court. That's not happening.
No, what's going to happen? Change
he's going to get ball off movement, getting screens, flashing, somebody screens for him, catching the ball, and that's where he's going to get the ball. He's not bringing no fucking ball up the court with a whole key, everybody focusing on him, cross the key, and then make him the playmaker. That's not happening.
Okay,
you're not
but
winning in the playoffs,
and that's fine. That's what Nurse is for. That's what Nurse is for.
What are you doing with Pascal? What you should be doing is taking those guys up, hitting the ball out of their hands.
Pascal should have never touched the ball by the three.
Yeah,
just
exactly,
cut
man.
Screen going downhill. Yeah. Just don't touch the damn ball.
Have somebody hit the screen for him, cut to the back, like he was, you know, get the ball at the elbow, operate from there, closer to the basket, fucking giving ball at 3-point line. Fuck that.
High screen and roll. He rolls. He doesn't pop for a jumper, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I think you can keep some of those same things with Giannis, but not make that the main focus. I understand what you're saying. I don't think you tear away the stuff that he's been doing. But you got to give him also easier ways to score too.
So, I think the problem with Giannis is that they were trying to duplicate the LeBron James whole thing, where he's got to
handle the ball,
stuff the stat sheet.
Yes,
you know, and I thought that was bullshit.
Yeah,
you know,
trying to make him like LeBron, Draymond Green. Everybody should do that. Yeah. Point forward.
This hybrid. Yeah, no, no.
Fuck all that.
Just run the wing, get in the post, score, dunk, do your shit. You know. Yes. And that's it. Yeah. Like, when he's handling the ball, like, especially after Toronto series, you know that shit don't work. You know, there's a wall he can't shoot. Like, you know, but you have him bringing up the ball still doing that nonsense. You know, like, if ever he got to Toronto, they have to get rid of the other kid. They have to get rid of him. I would lose whatever hair I have left watching two of them play on the same court.
Yeah, redundancy.
I disagree in a sense where, like, I think you can still keep those elements of Giannis, but I think that with what's his name again? I want to call him Buck Showalter. It's not Buck Showalter. What's his name again? Mike Budenholzer. Mike Budenholzer. Holy smokes. Yeah. Mike, I'm talking baseball. Mike Budenholzer. So like I don't think he's a guy that adjusts well. So I think coming here, I think, like I said, I think Toronto's missing a superstar. And Giannis lines all the way up. We've already discussed this many times of how he lines up with the city, everything else. And we all know that them and Miami are one of the two teams if he decides to leave Milwaukee. But with that said, like, going back to my original point, I'm not risking my 2021 cap space with all those free agents coming off the table. I don't want my signing long term deals. Like that's what I said with the Montrezl thing. When I'm hearing that he likes the Raptors, I'm like, cool, you can like them, but it doesn't mean you have
Fuck
to come
that.
Here. I'm like,
here's the thing with Giannis too. Nobody said he can't bring the ball up off a defensive rebound and your defense mm-hmm. isn't set. Push the hell out of the ball.
Of course. Pick your spots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when the team scores and you inbound the ball and he's bringing it up, that's nonsense,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, pick your spot. Yeah, perfect. You said it right, Curtis. But, grab a rebound, push the ball.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. You can keep elements of the things that he already does, that he's already really successful at, but also add stuff that where he's able to score without the basketball, make scoring a little easier from whether it was just dives to the basket, just different things. You know, them guys can figure it out. But that's right. where I would go to that. Now, before we wrap up, I want to take this section just to give some roses to Jamal Murray, because we know that, you know, he was injured coming into the bubble, but once he went in, he basically became a superstar. The guy averaged 31 points a game, 52% from three-point line. He averaged almost 7 assists a game. He made his fame battling Donovan Mitchell in round one. He defeated the Clippers in round two, capped off by dropping 40 on them boys in game 7. And then he gave the Lakers everything he had before he succumbed to his calf injury, I think, in game 5. He started to find his voice with the anti-black racism. And then he had that moving moment after game 6 of the Utah series where, you know, he had Breonna Taylor and George Floyd on his shoes and he was crying. And starting next season, he's going to begin the richest contract in Canadian sports as he goes into his, 5 years, $170 million max deal. With all that mm-hmm. said, how happy are you guys for everything that Jamal accomplished these last 45 to 50 days?
I hope he gets every single dollar. He's going to get the contract-wise, but every sponsorship deal out there, I hope those corporations jump at this kid, man. You know, he's well worth it. He's a stud. He's proven it. You know, put that red and white flag on him. Proud to have him represent Canada. You know.
Yeah, man, like you said it. Like, I remember when my boy Shane Nice, he coached in the kitchen, and was like, yo, Kamaka. And Jamal was talking, yo, this kid could play, man. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. You're from kitchen. There's no problem with the kitchen. And then, a few years later, he's at Athlete Institute, and I'm watching this kid play. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, my boy Shane is telling me about his dad, Roger. And he's like, yo, Roger don't fuck around. Like, he has Jamal meditating. Jamal doing all this stuff. I'm like, as soon as you said that, I'm like, okay. Because as a player, you know, it's between your ears. And the great ones are able to silence the crowd, silence the noise, lock in and focus. And when you hear Jamal focuses 45 minutes a day, I'm like, okay. And you saw it when he came in his rookie year and he just took it from Moody, where Jamal was just locked in. And he just, you know, it's a testament to. And I, as a coach, I always refer to guys like Jamal. Like, listen, man, you know, this guy from Kitchener, Ontario, is one of the best players because he believes it. And what they're saying, you believe it, you know, you see it, you believe it, you achieve it, or something like that. And, you know, Jamal just meditates and he brings it, you know, he makes it true, he makes it come true. And so that's why, and he's just so humble and, you know, obviously you have to play with a little swag, a little attitude, right? But that's why, I'm so happy for him. And they picked the right kid. And I hope he gets everything, like Curtis, like you said. And I know his dad, Roger, know him very well. And he's a really cool guy, funny guy. But he's also smart and he gets it. And, you know, he's going to keep Jamal humble, you know, and focused. And that's the thing, you know, he's going to keep Jamal humble and focused. And, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid, man, and I'm so happy for him. And that's the thing, too, with the national team. Like, this game is so much mental. Like, when we had Steve Nash, they feared Steve Nash. We had somebody on the national team that people were afraid of. And Steve Nash played up, and they had to be afraid of Steve Nash, right? And he carried us to, you know, so far in the Olympics. And I was thinking, who, you know, in the international ball community would they fear, right? And when you have somebody like Jamal Murray and then Shai Gilgeous, you know, these guys are going to have to respect these two guys, these two young killers on the court, right? And then we have, you know, we surround them with other solid players. Man, you know, kind of ball. Just with those two guys, they're going to take us very, very far in the international. Just Shai and Jamal Murray, those two guys, those two killers, they fear nobody. And they're going to elicit a lot of fear from people and other teams. and they're going to bring us, you know, they're going to give us the respect. And take it.
That's funny. I remember watching the Pan Am games, watching a young Murray, a younger Murray play.
Yep, you're going to steal my point. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he was the best player on the court as a high school kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this kid is going to be, right there, I was like, I've seen enough. This kid is, because yeah. I watched a couple of games at Athletes Institute, but once I saw him against men and more than hold his own, and he was like the best Canadian player on the court at the time, and a number of those games, I was like, yo, this kid is on his way.
You should have seen him in at the workouts. I would go to the workouts, and Triano would have him doing some one-on-one competition. He was splitting them up in different groups, and you know, four guys here, four guys over, and they're all playing one-on-one in those in their groups. He was every day, whichever groups he was in, he was giving guys buckets. I'm like, okay, because that was the thing, right? He's a high school kid, you know, he's not sure how, but he was just fine. He was giving guys buckets.
Yeah.
He was like king of the hill. This who's next? Bam, take that. He was like, bam. I'm like, okay, Jamal. So yeah, he definitely steps up. You know, he definitely has that in him, man. He's a Shaolin Kung Fu master guy. That's what he is.
For me, you know, there's a positive and negative out of everything, right? Like, as we were saying before, like, as much as I was pissed off at the Clippers for choking their lives out, the positive was that I was more than happy because, like, you're going to get to see more games out of Jamal Murray because just the way he was playing. Like, for me, he reached that, I'm not saying this forever, but for this, at least for this playoff period, he reached that Steph level for me. Because you know how Steph goes, where it's at a point where you almost feel like every shot he's taking is going in. Like, it doesn't matter where he's shooting it from. It always feels like it's going in. By the time he got to like the end of the Clippers series, actually I'll take it back further. By the time he got to like Game 6 of the Utah series, I was like, wow, like this guy can literally pull up from anywhere. But the thing is, I didn't think it was just he was just having a hot game. I was like, I think this might be it. Like, I don't think this is a fluke. I think this is it.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's to me is where it kind of changed for me. Because that's where I am with Steph. Like, Steph, people want to take their shots at him and stuff. But the thing I love about him is when that guy is rolling, it literally from half court. Like, he's the one that started shooting those 35-foot threes. Like, it doesn't matter where he is on the floor. Like, he's just a threat to do anything anywhere. And that's where I started feeling with Jamal Murray. So...
Yep.
Like, to me, I thought for him, like that's where I'm like, I'm extremely happy for him in that sense. And I think the question I have is he going to receive that love from Canada that some of the top hockey players get? Like, should he keep this up? Because, like, again, I don't think this is a fluke. Like, is he going to get the same love that, like, as a Sidney Crosby would get? And I get it because I'm projecting, like, the success on him because he doesn't have those awards or all-star game yet or like, the championships yet.
Whatever love Steve Nash got, when Steve Nash was in the MVPs, I'm sure Jamal will get the same love. Maybe more. Because basketball's even growing even more. So I think he'll get more.
I think he'll get a lot of respect because the game has grown leaps and bounds. Even from when Steve Nash was playing, it's grown even more so here in Canada.
Exactly.
I think he'll get much love. You know, and I think he will see it in the corporate sponsorships. Yep. You know, they'll be stupid enough not to. But I think he'll do well.
Because to me, if he starts becoming like a multiple-time All-Star, or say they win a ring in the next couple of years, he makes it like an All-NBA team or, you know, those separate things. Like, I think the red carpet has to be rolled out for him. I don't know if it's going to be reciprocated because I know this is the fourth biggest market in TV market in North America, but sometimes it doesn't get treated that way. And so that's my concern is he going to get that? Because there's a potential there. He's 23 years old. Like, there's a potential he could be like this for the next 10 years, you know, give or take injuries or anything like that that's going to happen. So with that said, like, to me, like, he should be raining love and endorsements from this country. Forget the States, because he's going to get it from the States, being that he's playing for Denver. Denver's smart. They're never letting him go. But
it's a small market, though. So,
right. But I'm just saying he's in the U.S., so it's still a national thing, right? And especially he's with Adidas. Like, Adidas only has Harden. They got Lillard. You know, like, he's the young buck coming. So he keeps doing it like this. He's going to get his own shoe. He's going to get all those things that's going to come along with it too. But my thing is, in Canada, how is that love going to really be reciprocated in Canada? For us, of course, all day. Like, he's going to get that from us. But, like, our basketball community. But I just want to see him get that same love that, like, a Sidney Crosby gets or Austin Matthews gets.
again, I think basketball is, the Canada is so multicultural. I mean, the major cities, that is. But again, like I said earlier, basketball is dominated more so than hockey now. Like in Toronto, I don't care how popular Maple Leafs are. The Toronto Raptors is the buzz of the city, not the Maple Leafs. Right. So, and then he set himself apart from any other Canadian ballers at this point. Like, he's literally set himself apart. There's a big gap right now. I think he's going to do great.
Yeah.
Proud of him, though. Man. The kid's done really well.
Yeah, I'm very proud of him, man. I'm happy for him. And I agree with you guys totally with the stuff for Team Canada the next couple of years as that threat. Because you think of, like, you know, back in the day with Argentina being, like, you know, having Ginobili being that threat, the Gasol brothers, you know, in Spain being that threat, and now you have I think right now you have a Jamal Murray if he's going to commit to this team, that's going to be a team that everybody in the world is going to be afraid of, even the U.S. And he's going to be able to handle his work. Like, there's nobody he's going to be afraid of to play. You know what I mean? Even the U.S. So that's going to be really interesting.
So I'm saying it now. I know it's early, but I'm saying it now. Resurgence for Wiggins with Steph and Thompson coming back this year. I think you're going to see a totally different Wiggins.
If they keep him. I think if they keep him, then I think, he's going to be the third scoring option, right? So I think there is a chance for that there. But again, that's if he doesn't get traded.
If they keep him, I think you're going to see a change in his mentality and the love for the game again.
Well, let's see. Let's hope. It's better for, you know, for the basketball community here, right? That's what you want to see. So to wrap up, your final predictions, what do you guys have? I know we talked about Miami. We bashed LeBron a little bit. we bashed the Clippers a little bit. But finals predictions, what do you guys have? O'Neal, I'll start with you.
Miami in six.
Sorry?
I have Miami in six.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're that much of a believer. Okay. I mean, hey, listen, you picked them as your dark horse, so you may as well ride them to the end, right?
There you go. Miami.
I'll take LA in seven just because I refuse to believe that Miami can beat seven players on the court at a time.
Eight, Curtis. There's three referees. Eight.
Eight. I can't see it happening.
I mean, O'Neal, I would. I think for me personally, it would be a great story, just a great change. Because sometimes I like to support chaos. I'm with the train wrecking shits. So sometimes I would like to see, like, you know, like a team like Miami is gonna contribute to that. They win the title, like, they're gonna, like, that's gonna, like, just set off the bubble, like, this whole experience to be insane, you know what I mean? So I would love to see that, but I think the Lakers are gonna win in six, partly because I think the narrative, I just can't see the NBA not, you know, not to call conspiracy, but I just can't see the NBA letting the Heat win in a scenario where the Lakers are the flagship franchise with everything that happened with the whole Kobe situation, and for them to not get a ring. Like, I'm not saying Miami can't do it, but, like, there's going to be the Lakers are going to get all the help they're going to get in this case.
Here's the thing. I compare it like a heavyweight fight in the boxing ring. A championship match. You have to, the contender has to go and beat the champ.
Well, they ain't no champ here.
It can't be a tie. I know. That's what I'm getting at, though. Let me finish. There ain't no champ here, but you have to go beat in the ring. You got to go beat the champ. It can be a close. It can be a draw. You have to go in the ring and beat him for a champion. Clearly beat him. Beat the shit out of him for a championship fight. In this case, there's no champ, but there is a champ. Because in the NBA's eyes, there is a champ. The Lakers are supposed to be that champ. So Miami's got to go, just like in the ring. They got to go and beat the F out of LA. That's the only way that the referees can affect the game as much as they can, is if they come on and just play, just give them some licks from jump. They have to lick them. And if they can't do that, then, again, LA in seven, maybe six.
All right, fellas. Well, listen, guys, thank you for hopping on this podcast as usual. You guys were great today. Actually, that's a lie. You guys are all right today. But thank you guys for hopping on. it's been a pleasure. Like I said, I'm happy that we got a chance to give Jamal Murray's roses, man, because that's an amazing accomplishment what he did. And the fact that, again, this is a guy from Kitchener, like, I think it's a beautiful story. Everything that he did in that bubble experience, from, again, like the shoes, the Breonna Taylor and George Floyd shoes, which is like an underrated great moment. I loved everything of it, man. So I just hope this continues going forward, which I can't see why it wouldn't. So, you know, him and Joker for the next 5 years, like, that team's going to be dangerous, man. Like, they don't have to worry about any big deals coming up for the next few years. Like, Michael Porter Jr. is coming, and you don't have to worry about his contract for a few years.
I like the way Grant played as well.
Oh, my God.
Grant was nice, man.
Oh, he was awesome.
He showed up.
He was awesome. Thank you for supporting the Av Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. I appreciate you. Special shout out goes out to O'Neal Kamaka and Big Brother Curtis for coming on the Av to discuss the NBA Finals, the Bubble Finals, and also showing love to Jamal Murray and catching up on the rest of the NBA happenings. Listen, rate, review, and subscribe to all of the shows from South Shore Ave Radio. And to make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com to check out my catalog of podcast shows. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. I'll be back next week to discuss more of the NBA Finals. So come on back. Come on back. Come on back. Thank you for the support. For O'Neal Kamaka and Big Brother Curtis, this is Cal C. And you've just tuned into the Av Podcast on South Shore Av Radio. Until the next podcast, folks, peace. We out.